You're listening to a podcast brought to you by Renew Church. Renew is committed to reaching people and building lives through faith, family, and fun. We hope you will be blessed by this message.
So, I'm going to talk for a few minutes today, and the title of the message is called this, Keeping Fit in 2020. Don't worry, we're not doing any aerobics. Unless you want to, feel free. But I'm talking about different ways we need to monitor ourselves in 2020. Maybe as the clock struck midnight on January 1st, you were partying away. You were with friends, with family. Or maybe you were fast asleep, and the thought of midnight and December 31st means nothing to you. But you woke up the next morning on January 1st and thought, right, I'm going to make some plans. I'm going to make some decisions. I'm going to make some changes. And maybe you created a list or at least a mental list of New Year's resolutions. I'm not really into those. But maybe losing weight, getting fit, starting a new hobby, giving up alcohol for a time. That's the kind of typical things people do at the turn of a new year. But let me tell you this. Unless the habits of your life change, the only thing that really changed this week is the calendar. You can wish for a new year, but unless things change in 2020, it's going to be the old year all over again. And some of you have been around long enough to know that that's exactly right. A new year doesn't necessarily mean change unless you decide to change. So I want to talk about five areas of your life which I believe you can see transformation in 2020, because we're all believing, right, this is going to be the best year ever. Who wouldn't want this to be the best year ever for your marriage, for your family, for your social circle? Who wouldn't be saying, God, make this be the best year ever for Renew Church? Who wouldn't be saying, God, I want this to be, you know, the best year of my spiritual journey with you? I mean, we all want that, right? We're all saying that. Nobody's going to say, no, I want a bad year. You know, some of you probably can't wait to see the back of 2019. You know, 2019 was pretty good to me. You know, I had my ups and downs, but generally speaking, I think it was a good year. But for some of you, it may have been the worst year of your life. There may have been fallout after fallout, an argument and tension and finances. It could have been just one thing after another. It's one of those years where you think, man, I cannot wait to see the back of that one. Bring on 2020. But whatever you're thinking today, whatever your heart is, whatever your plan is, I'm sure you're in a position where you're like, you know what, I want 2020 to be even better than 2019. Even if 2019 was a great year, 2020 can be even better. So I'm going to give you five areas which I believe will help you have a transformed year. But guess what? You can listen to this and say amen, but you got to do some work as well, okay? It's not just a case of clicking your fingers and showing up to church and hoping everything sorts itself out. There's going to be some very real decisions that you and I have got to make this year if we really want to get on track for God. So number one, and Johnny, I'm sort of stealing your message from last week, but it was that good, it deserves to be preached twice, is we need to get fit in the area of forgetfulness. Forgetfulness, you say, what? Well, let me show you the scripture, Philippians 3, 12 to 14, please, Benjamin, says this, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. Sometimes my accent is weird. It can go American, Yorkshire, you name it. Someone asked me the other day if I was American. I don't know if that's good or bad. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, listen to this, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. That's a pretty good prayer, isn't it, for 2020? You know what? I'm going to forget everything that's behind me, and I'm going to strive towards ahead and press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. Isn't that a great prayer? You know, whatever situation you're in, life might be good, bad, hunky-dory, whatever. But you're saying, God, I'm going to forget what's behind me. I'm going to press on for what you have for me. So guess what? We got to forget some things in 2019 and we got to move on to 2020. Until you erase the past, you can't move forward in your journey with God. Until you meet the one who created you, you won't know the reason you were created. The enemy, here's what I've learned, he'll try and take events that have happened to you in your past, and guess what? He'll try and keep you there. He will remind you of that divorce. He'll remind you of that abusive relationship. He'll remind you of that time you were abandoned or rejected. He'll remind you of that crime you committed. He'll remind you of that situation you were involved in. God is telling you right now at the start of 2020, it's time to forget. Forget. There's three things we need to forget. Firstly, this is the easy one. Well, it's the one we all want to do. I'm not sure it's easy, but we want to forget the bad things. I mean, you know, who's made some mistakes in 2019? Who's done some stupid things? Yeah. Couple of hands going up. A few honest people in here. It's good to know. But we want to forget the bad things, right? We want to forget the bad things. You know, if you've been in a messed up relationship, chances are you want to forget it. Might not be able to forget it, but you want to. Not letting go of the past. Someone said this. It's like putting yourself in an airplane and saying, "Let's go, pilot," but the wings remain strapped to the floor. In other words, without those wings, you ain't going nowhere. You got to let go of the bad. And you say, well, it's easy for you to say that. You've had a pretty easy life. And I have. I'm going to be honest with you. I've never had a family trial, really, compared to most people. You know, people talk to me about family bust-ups, and I've had a plane run. I've never really had an argument with my parents. I've never really fallen out, you know, with my in-laws. I've never really, just avoid them instead, just joking. But, I've had a pretty easy go. I get that. And I do have compassion for people who go through these trials. But guess what? God is asking you to try and forget. As painful as that might be, as hard as that might be, for your own sake, forget the bad things. Now here's, yeah, that's pretty obvious, right? Yeah, forget bad stuff that happened and then you move on. But Paul, I believe, is also saying here, we've got to forget some good things. Well, guess what? I was filled with the Holy Spirit in 1938. Well done. I went on a mission trip in 94. And you meet these Christians and they kind of got these two or three big stories in their life and they repeat them all the time. And God bless them, they're great stories. God was there. I'm not mocking the story. But man, isn't it time to get some fresh stories of what God's doing in your life? You know? I mean, we had a great year with One by One 2019. We rescued 50 kids from slavery. We sent the Dignity Project around the world, Kenya. But you know what? It's gone. It's in 2019's newsletter. Thank God for it. We praise God for it. But 2020 is a new start. And I can't be using 2019's stories to keep me going for 2020. That's why I never mentioned my sickness issue. You got to move on. And even the good things in life, guess what? They're gone. Time to move on. Time to ask God what the next project is. What's the next assignment? What's the next tropical disease to battle? What's next, God? I got to forget the good and the bad. The bad and the good. And forgetting the bad is obvious. But forgetting the good, sometimes we can glory in our past triumphs. You know, it's like Liverpool fans until recently, of course. Always banging on about the European Cup wins. I mean, you know, they're about to enter a new era. And it's going to be Man United fans, isn't it, for the next 10 years. When they don't win anything, they're going to be talking about their history. Guess what? You're mid-table. You only drew with Wolves last night. Look at your current situation, man. Don't bang on about the glory years. Because guess what? They've gone. So I'm going to ask you all right now, be honest, what's God doing in your life right now? And I'm speaking to me here. Because when you speak around churches like I do, and you go to different conferences and you get asked to share stories, sometimes it's pretty embarrassing. Because you're thinking about stories, and it can be quite an eye-opener when you're thinking, man, this was 4 years ago, that was 6 years ago, that was 8 years ago. Wait a minute. What's happened in the last 6 months? What's happened in the last year? What's happened in the last week? Because I don't know about you, but I want to have miracle stories every week, every day. I want to have something I can share about God. I don't want to be harping on about the past. And that's not about age. I want to always be like that. When I'm 75, 80, 90, if the Lord grants me those years, which, let's be honest, is pretty unlikely. No. But, you know, I want to be freshly serving God today. So the bad, the good, what's the third thing we've got to forget? We've got to forget the things we don't understand. And this is harder than anything. You know, why do bad things happen to good people? Why did Becky's dad die 2 years ago of Alzheimer's and have almost a 10-year mental health battle, having lived a great Christian life? Why did our previous pastor die a year ago, having barely hurt a soul in his life? He's 60s and reasonably healthy and looking forward to retirement. Why would he just go like that? Why would a 30-year-old staff member in Kenya on New Year's Eve, we get a phone call from Brittany to say they found her dead after an epileptic fit, drowned in a bowl of water? Why would that happen? Why would God do that? That girl's preaching the gospel every week to 10,000 children. I don't understand everything. I don't understand how God can heal me and then that young girl dies. I don't understand. I wish I did. I wish I had the answers. I wish I could explain to you, well, here's why, and I don't know everything. If you've come into me for the answers, try next door, because they might have more answers than me. I am completely clueless why some people get healed and why some people don't. But guess what? I still believe in the miracle working power of God. And I'm still going to pray for you if you come to me. I'm still going to believe that God's going to heal you. There's a great story in the Bible where Jesus is sleeping in the boat. The disciples are panicking about everything. We're about to die. Don't you care about us, God? What's happening? Jesus stands up. He brings peace and quiet to the situation and tells his disciples not to be afraid. I almost feel as if God's saying to someone in here today, don't be afraid. Even when you don't understand what's happening, even when the world's a bit rocky, you think, why is this happening? God is in the boat with you, and he's not troubled. He's fast asleep, not that he's not aware. He knows exactly what he's doing, but he is there with you. Even if you don't understand the situation you're in, God is in the boat with you. So we got to forget. The first way of getting fit in 2020 is to forget some stuff, and that's a choice. It's not a kind of spooky happening. I choose to move on today from that situation. The bad, the good, and that which I don't understand, I choose to leave in 2019. That's the first way of getting fit. Number two, I preach on this at least once a year, but we got to forgive. Let's pull up the next verse, please. Matthew 5:23. So what if you're offering your gift at the altar and remember that someone has something against you? So that means I'm sat here on the front row and I'm worshiping God. That's my gift. Could be my financial gift. Could be my gift of praise. Could be my service to God. And there I remember. This is Jesus. This isn't Pastor Matt. This isn't my new church policy. This is Jesus. So if you've got a problem, then you can talk to him about it. And there I remember, so in at the altar, I'm about to give my worship, and I remember then that someone's got something against me. Not that I've got someone something against someone, but they have got something against me. Jesus says, leave your gift there and go and make peace with that person, then come and offer your gift. So, what a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name. Oh, man, that person hates me. I better go and sort that out before I carry on singing. Now, there's only so much you can do there, of course. You know, you may have already done that. But if there's people you have issues with or people who have issues with you, I encourage you, sort them out in 2020. I go to sleep at night knowing full well I don't have an issue with anyone. you know, I'm pretty secure in that. There's no one I hate. I don't go to bed hating people. You know, I really don't. There might be issues crop up throughout my week, but I don't let that take me. I go to sleep pretty peaceful, thinking, you know what? I'm in a pretty good place for most people right now. There's been one or two situations in the past, but you know what? I'm cool. I've moved on. I've forgotten. I want to encourage you to forgive. You know, this word offense crops up a lot. Here's what I've learned about offense. Offense is a choice. Even if someone is wrong, you have a choice whether or not to be offended by them. That's number one. Number two, offense not only affects your relationship between another person, it affects your relationship with God. Even if you're not in the wrong, if you are holding offense against someone, that won't just affect you and that person, it will affect you and God. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. We sang the Lord's Prayer this morning. You're saying to God, you forgive my offense as I forgive their offense. You know, this week I had a clear opportunity happen to me this week where I could have so easily got offended and annoyed. And I made a choice in that moment. You know what, God? I'm going to let this go over my head and I'm going to forget all about it. And I've not even remembered it until just now. And I'm only remembering it because I've got an analogy. I do not care about that. It's gone. Did it hurt for a split second? Yes. But I decided, I don't need to talk to anyone about it. I've dealt with it. I've talked to God about it. It is gone. It's a choice. It happens all the time. I could have got sulky. I could have got miserable. I could have given someone a cold shot. You know what? I've decided to not be offended. So what do you do in that situation? Well, you write them a card. You might send them a text message. You might make a phone call. You might buy them a coffee. You might invite them around for a meal. You obey God. How many know this? Emotions are liars. Your emotions will tell you you can't let go. Your emotions will tell you you can't forgive. Emotions aren't loyal. But love is a decision. How many people say they love the kids when they want to kill them? Love is a choice for better or for worse. It's a choice, not a feeling. That works in a marriage. It works in a friendship. It works in a work situation. Love is a choice. How many of you believe that when Jesus died on a cross and shed his blood for you to be forgiven, the cross didn't just pay for your sin against God, but it paid for other people's sins against you? It comes down to one question. Do I believe that the sacrificial atonement of Jesus Christ not only paid for my sin, but it paid for the sins of others? I want you to ask the Holy Spirit right now, who do I need to forgive? Who do I need to forgive? And I believe the Holy Spirit's doing some work right now across this room. Because offense is not just separating you from that other person, but it's separating you from God. It will draw a division in your relationship. Now, God still loves you. God still cares for you. Nothing will separate you from his love. But there'll be a blockage in the relationship if offense gets in the way. What a time to get it out in the open. What a time in January, the first week, to let it go and to move on. Don't let that grudge take you into 2020. So number one, we forget. Number two, we forgive. Number three, which is a bit of a surprise for you because, you know, probably don't expect a preacher to talk about this, but I think getting in physical shape part of your spiritual health in 2020. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in your midst." Imagine if Jesus was to loan you his car. Now, Jesus doesn't have a car, I get that. But if he had a car and he said to you, "Hey, I want you to have this car and take care of it for me and give me it back in 80 years. Okay, you've got 80 years to look after this car. So he gives you this car when you're pretty young, and you get to keep it for 80 years, but you've got to return it to Jesus. Can you imagine how you would take care of that car? Man, you would put the best fuel in it. You wouldn't get the cheapo fuel, you'd get the best type. You would clean that car every week. You'd make sure that you didn't do too much in that car. You'd make sure that, you know, you kept it absolute spick and span. You would look after it like your life depended, because you're going to give it back to its creator and its owner. Well, guess what? God has given you this body, and he wants to take you to take care of it. Now, I wouldn't have probably dared say this a few months ago, because I would have been a fat, hypocritical preacher, like most of them are. But I woke up one day a few months ago and thought, man, this has got to change. I mean, I looked in that mirror and think, man, something's got to change here, Tubby, or we're gonna have to sort this out. And I made a decision. And I realized, you know, I was a mess, a fat mess, to be precise. And something, no one's disagreeing, so no, something had to change. It said, yeah, your body's a temple. Yeah, I look like the Taj Mahal. You know? So, not sure that's the kind of temple the Lord had in mind. But I knew I had a problem. I mean, I really did have a problem. And people talk about being addicted to things. Yeah, I've never really had that. I honestly believe, and I'm still working on this. I was in Derby last night eating a kebab at goodness knows what time. So I'm hardly getting up here as, you know, St. Matthew, who's cleaned up his act. I've still got some way to go here. But I needed to change. I've been here for 5 years now, and I've worked hard, man. I mean, sleepless nights. You know, chasing people, helping people, doing what I do around the world, raising money, you know, doing what we've done here. It's not been easy. But, you know, thank God. And I've paid a price for that. And I got to a point where I thought, wait a minute, I got to start taking care of me here. If I want to do this for another 30, 40 years, I got to take care of me. And I was sleeping 4 hours a night. That would be normal for me. 5 hours on a good night. I would work till 2 o'clock in the morning. I would make phone calls. I'd wait till America. I'd be on the different time zones. You know, I've got staff in America, in Kenya, in India, Pakistan, and people Sri Lanka. I would just wait for them all to wake up and then just work with them. I could just keep going. And it was like I would do that every day, 7 days a week for a year. I didn't take a day off. And I thought, man, it's great. It's admirable. You get lots done. But at some point, I was addicted to fast food. I'm the kind of guy who's, you know, wife cooks a nice lovely meal, and then he eats it and smiles and says, yeah, just nipping out. McDonald's. I'm one of those. Yeah. There's a few of those in here. Everyone's really quiet. No one does that, of course, just me. But I was a walking disaster, and I knew I got to sort my body out. If I want to work for, you say, what's this got to do with God? Well, if I want to work for God, I've got to be fit. And he doesn't make me fit. I make myself fit. And I know people have got issues and health issues, which means they can't exercise. I get that. You know, my mum's in a wheelchair. You know, I can't hardly take her on a 10K run. Well, I could push around. But, you know, so I get that, okay? I know we can't all do things, but we can all do something. We can all make some choices to make our lifestyles healthier. And I just made a decision. I lost 33 pounds, and there's more to come. I've got new targets for January. I started running, exercising. And, you know, my wife gets a better version of me. My son gets a better version of me. You get a better version of me. And guess what? God gets a better version of me. He gets more of me. I can do more for him. So I want to encourage you to take your health seriously in 2020. And we can help you. You know, there's personal trainers in here. There's nutritionists in here. If you're really struggling, we can, you know, come and talk to me. I can get someone to sit down with you and do you a plan and just help you get on the road to a healthier you. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what your condition of your body is. There will be some changes you can make to make a difference. And you will be thanking me this time next year. I feel like a different person. You know, we do a week of prayer and fasting. I don't believe we should fast to lose weight. But that could be an opportunity for you to just reset your food calendar a little bit and your food habits. You know, you could just cut back some stuff, do some fasting for spiritual reasons, but that could be like a springboard for you as you enter 2020. Again, we don't normally preach about this stuff, but it's important. And there's a link to discipline. You know, if you can discipline your body, if you can be disciplined with your food, I guarantee you, you will have greater discipline in other areas of temptation. God is testing you and using you in that area. So, we got to forget, we got to forgive, we got to get physically fit. Two more. Number four, I believe we got to get financially fit. You know, I read a survey, they interviewed 50% of Americans. Now, this is America. And it said this, if they needed $1,000, that's about £700, they would need to get a credit card or a loan. That means the average American is one car problem away from being in a financial crisis. That's not good. You know, this week, we turned over the year, and the first decision I made with my money was to give. I always give in the early part of the month. And the first transaction that went out of my bank account this decade was me to Renew Church. I'm obviously not going to tell you how much it was, but I made a decision, I'm going to give. And I smiled. I didn't miss a month. I'm not saying this to boast. I didn't miss a month in the last decade. I don't plan on missing a month in this next decade. And I wanted, the first thing I did with my money this decade was to give to God. And I want to encourage you. You know, don't tell me you can't afford to tithe or give. If you can't afford to give, there's something wrong in your heart. You've misunderstood the whole concept of trusting God. I want to encourage you, pay God, pay yourself, give, be generous. I'll do another teaching on this at some point. But it scares me how few Christians understand the power of generosity and giving. God has blessed you to be a blessing. Now, I don't need your money. Renew Church doesn't need your money. We'll keep the lights turned on, whether or not you're stingy or not. You know, God's bigger than all that. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's going to take care of us. But I want to encourage you to sort out your finances. Every time, without fail, someone has come to me with a financial problem, every time I've asked them, do you give, do you tithe? And the answer is always no. Always, without an exception. I don't meet tithers and givers and generous people with financial problems. Now, do you have tight months? Do you get unexpected bills? Do your finances miraculously change overnight? Of course not. Do flat tires still happen? Do tithers still get punctured in their tires? Yes, they do. You know? Do tithers still get unexpected bills? Yes, they do. But I wanted to encourage you, be a giver. You decide. I'm not telling you this for my benefit. I'm telling you this for yours. Firstly, because God says to do it. And secondly, you will benefit, not me. Give and it shall be given to you. This is a principle. And I thanked God on January 1st when I made that transaction. I thought, God, what a decade I've had. You've blessed me. It was amazing. I then got an email just a few hours later, you know, from America to say my report for December for our income for One by One. You know, someone made a spontaneous donation of $10,000 and someone made a spontaneous donation of $5,000. $15,000 came in. I didn't ask for it. I didn't beg. I didn't send out a letter. I just think, God, when we're faithful to you, you are always faithful to us. And I just encourage you to do this. Get it in order. Get it set up. You know, I do a standing order, me and Becky, every month. I don't even have to think about it. You know, I just have it set up. So I just think, you know what, I'm not, just like my mortgage, just like my council tax, whatever, insurance. I just see it as a bill. But it's a bill, it's the only bill I want to pay. You know, I wish I could get my mortgage break. I wish I didn't have to pay a mortgage. But the giving to God is something I want to do. Something I'm honored to do. And I want to encourage you, you know, at the start of the year, it's amazing. Don't have a messy financial situation. It's not a good testimony. You know, don't spend what you don't have. It's all basic stuff. And again, I will sit down with you and do a spreadsheet. I'll meet you and I'll go through it with you and I'll say, hey, I recommend you do this, this, this. You don't have to listen to me. I'm not a financial advisor. But I would help you. I want to encourage you to give, be generous, be financially fit. And the final point, Matt, if you could just come up, that'd be great. So last point, I'll take 5 minutes, is to be spiritually fit. We're going to be forget fit, forgive fit, physically fit, financially fit. And the final point, we want to be spiritually fit. Who wants God to talk to them today? Well, guess what? You got to read the Bible. The beautiful thing about the Bible is when you read the Bible reads you. Read an amazing stat this week about Bible study. And this was a big, big study. And it was a study for from the Center for Bible Engagement. And they studied the lives of 40,000 people. So this isn't just like, you know, this is what my mum and auntie think. This is 40,000 people. And they examined their Bible reading patterns and how much it impacted their life. So those who read the Bible once a week, maybe they heard it in church, maybe they read it on a Sunday, the impact was kind of small. Those who read it twice a week, again, it was quite small. Three times a week, a little bit greater. But when someone read the Bible for four times a week, it's almost, you know, getting to every other day and a bit more, there was a massive spike on the graph, which it was just like they couldn't believe the jump in going from 3 days a week reading the Bible to 4 days a week. And here's what they found. Loneliness in those people who read the Bible four times a week dropped 30%. Anger issues dropped 32%. Bitterness towards others dropped 40%. Alcoholism dropped 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant. Anyone ever done that? I think, man, this Christianity thing's hard work. I'm not going nowhere. Dropped 60%. Listen to this. Viewing pornography dropped 61%. Someone once said, let me get this right, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from your Bible. Sharing your faith jumped 200%. In other words, when you read scripture, you feel like, man, I want to share this with other people. And discipling others jumped 230%. That's why, as soon as the seed is sown, the enemy will try and steal it from your heart. Let's just read Mark 4:15 for a second. It says this, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no roots, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. In other words, guys, we got to get close to God. We got to be spiritually fit in 2020. It's more important than any of the other things. We got to be spiritually fit. I'm going to give you 2 points and then I'm done. Firstly, start a time when you meet with God. It could be nighttime. Maybe you're a midnight person. You want to wait till everyone else is in bed. And you want to go down into your living room and you just want to read your Bible. Maybe you're a morning person. And you think, man, if I've got any chance of doing anything decent with my life today and not being a complete idiot, I better read my Bible in the morning. Maybe you need a Bible plan. Maybe you need some prayer walks. You can get physically fit as well at the same time. Maybe you need to go for a run. Maybe go for a drive. But find a time in your life where you meet with God on a regular basis. God's the one who's always available. And He always promises to show up. He's not going to cancel at the last minute. He's always on your schedule. So find time to meet with Him. And if you're too busy for God, then you really are too busy. And whatever's stopping you from meeting with God needs to go. So start a time when you meet with God in 2020. And number two, get connected to others who are on this journey. You can't do this Christian life alone. There's too much junk in the world. You need other people. That's why we say sign up for a small group and a life group, because guess what? Then you can pray with others. You can talk to others. You can be part of other people's lives. That's why we do men's breakfast, and we say, please come to the men's breakfast. I encourage you, if you want to be at a men's breakfast, be at a men's breakfast. You want to be at a woman's breakfast, as long as you're a woman, be there. Get some friendships. Real friends will tell you what you don't want to hear. We all need friends who love us enough to call us out on our sin. I need that. I've been saved from myself a million times by people just being honest and saying, don't do that, bro. That's stupid. Be wise. Don't do that. That gives the wrong impression. Just be smart. You know, we need people who can encourage you and lift you up. I want 2020 to be your best year yet. Why don't we sing that song again? The Lord's Prayer, Our Father. Can we do that, guys? Is that okay?
Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for another encouraging message.